Kim, I said, I just want to read over it one more time. And it seems like my thoughts just couldn't get back together. And I thought, no, wait a minute, just, you know, earlier in the week and Tuesday and studying through Thursday and looking at it again Friday, and it was on my mind a lot. And I was riding down the road and, just playing over and over. Then today it seemed like it just wouldn't line up. I didn't know what was wrong, you know. Even in class, I broke one of my golden rules, I guess I tell my students, is study it till you know it, and then the day of, don't look at it again, because it can mix you up. And I guess that may be what happened, but let's just pray that that's not the devil working on us, and I can hopefully deliver it to myself and to you the way the Lord wants us to study this scripture this morning. And again, it's only a verse, but it was a blessing to me studying it, and especially this time of year, start out the new year. And I'm going to get out of this coat in just a second. I've got it on for a reason. I also wore this hat. I'd got that and hadn't wore that at all. And Brother Gary Turbfield already told me I was the gangster because that's a black hat. I was supposed to wear a white hat. But anyway, but then Brother Dan, he took up for me, and he said, that's all right, though. So even circuit riders, he said, wore the black hat. So, all right, let's see here. Chapter 12. Verse number 1, and I'll read verse number 2 as well, but verse number 1 is what we'll look at this morning. And it said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's probably not a better verse. Well, last week I said the same thing about the first two commandments and what God told us about our love for Him. And our increasing our knowledge of God, I said, as far as going into the new year, I really couldn't think of anything any better. And then I read this verse, I said, well, this verse here could also apply, not just the first day of the year, or the first Sunday, as we looked at last Sunday, but really any day in our lives. Look at verse number 2. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as I looked at those first two verses, I said, well, what else would you want to start any day with? No matter if it's the first Sunday, second Sunday of the year, if it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Monday, doesn't matter. And I'll tell you, as I was reading that, and there's another reason I got there, and for the sake of time, I won't tell you how I came about to read that, but or got there at that particular place, these verses, and we've seen them before, and you guys have probably all seen this before, but I never had. Somehow, I just always had read over it or included it. But when I read that, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, I thought about that Sunday school lesson we'd had before a couple years ago about being overcharged. That come back to mind. And I have always looked at every weight and combined that with the sin. And for the first time, I'd seen that and said, wait a second, that's separate. And I never saw that before. Maybe you guys had. It said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. That every weight is not sin, for the most part. It's not. And this morning we're going to address it as it's not sin. It's every weight. It's things that slow us down. It can be diverse in nature depending on the person. And that I had always read that, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily to beset us. And for the first time, I started thinking about, you know, I think Paul used examples of these races. Because back in the day, before they had gunpowder, for example, I went back and tried to study this out. A lot of the battles that these countries and nations had to have were a lot of physical battles. Men had to be able to run long distances. They had to be able to swing, you know, big heavy weapons. You know, there was no guns or anything. Had to have big swords. And we were somewhere, where was that, we got to see? It might have been, we was in Washington, D.C., in the, you know, Museum of Natural History. But anyway, one of those museums had like an ancient, you know, Roman soldier's sword. And they talked about how heavy it was and the weight and the preparation and what it take to wield that. And, you know, you just couldn't pick it up and wield it. You know, you'd fight all day with that. So to say that, what countries did, where they wanted to ensure that the population was in decent shape at least. And so they developed these games and they included different things. Of course, you know about the Olympics, et cetera. But that would have been well known, and especially racing, to be able to run and carry communication and et cetera. And just as a side note, that's where that great cloud of witnesses comes from. Along the way, what they would have grandstands built. And so as you were running these races, you would run in front of a group of people, like it might be a marathon or might be a longer distance, and you would perform in front of others. Of course, we know in Rome they had the big Colosseums and et cetera. So when they said race, people could understand that. But as I read that and said, we see, wherefore seeing also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's where those witnesses come in, the one part I want to focus on, let us lay aside every weight. Many things can hinder a run, slow you down, though in themselves are not wrong. And that's why I wore my jacket and my hat today, and I'll put it on in just a second. Every race that I've ever ran in, and I don't run these real long, but I mean I do it for fun. Luis and I did the little turkey trot thing and down in Murfreesboro, and we do little things like that every now and then. I'd never thought about it. And this applies to us too as Christians. And I can see Paul used that race, and if you think about the race in general, let me just tell you what I'm thinking. And it really got excited this week. There are really no rules. Any race I've ever signed up for, they've never sent me a packet back that says you must wear this, these type shoes, this type shirt, etc. Luis played a basketball game Tuesday night, and I noticed the coach, he hollered down the bench, pointed at him, told him to go in. Well, he took off his big sweatshirt and took his jogging shorts pants off. You know, they wear that warm-up suit. And it hit me there again, too. I said, even to go into the game, there's no rules that he can't go out there with a hoodie on and them long jogging pants to play. Got them zippers on him. He'd be stepping on him. He'd fall before he got too far. But that's not against the rules. But it would hinder his play. Now, stay with me. That's the same way with these races. There are no rules written down. But it's for us to know as Christians. And see, that's why there's not. Because individually, we have different hindrances. Different things or different or weights to different people. So I wore my jacket and my hat this morning. I put it on, and I'm going to take it off. But I wore it, for example. I wouldn't show up to run with this on. It would hinder me. It would slow me down. But it's not against the rules. I can wear it if I want to. And see, that's what I get by where it separates. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us. As I look at this, there's no rules about dress, so to speak, for the race. So as this is legal for me to wear in any race I were to run, it still oppresses the runner. It slows me down. I told you about that race, first one I ever ran in, where I was running and that little lady passed me. I don't know how old she was, but what really made me go fast, she just shuffled those feet and I couldn't catch up with her. I thought about tripping her two or three times. I said, this doesn't look good. And as I was running, I thought, what weights are slowing me down? I thought about that. See, this heavy wool coat, which it happens to be appropriate for today because it's cold outside. And this hat right here, you'd never run in those. So I wonder, as Christians today, as we get into the rest of this, how many of us are carrying a heavy coat? How many of us got a weight that's slowing us down? Maybe it's a unresolved I guess not a quarrel, I don't want to use that word. Maybe you've got an unhealthy friendship, something you need to set right with somebody. See, that's going to slow you down in the race. That's going to wear you down. It's going to be add weight to your run. And what if it's something is, let me go the other direction. You say, well, unhealthy friendship, we could see how if that affected our fellowship with God, that could be sin. Well, what about an overzealous work ethic? Could that be it? Could that be a weight to slow you down? What about this one? Let me put this over here. And we might all fall into this one. What about idle entertainment? Things just to keep us busy. Take our mind off. You know, I think I'll sit down here and rest a while. And there's nothing wrong with resting. But I'm saying, what if we just, I'll just watch a little TV. You know, we had that back in the summer. What was that, June or July? We had that, it was somewhere in the 50s. Remember, I got that newspaper article and the gentleman had written out about a visitor they had. Until you got to the very end, or maybe I didn't know, maybe you guys did, it was television he was talking about, how the visitor changed their home. And we used to read the Bible on the afternoons or the evenings, but that changed once this fellow arrived. You remember he talked about that. In other words, that can be a hindrance. And it's not just that. It's any type of idle entertainment. Anything that takes you away from the things of God could be a weight that could so easily beset us. Or the sin easily besets us, but a weight slows us down as well. And as we read that one more time, it said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with the patience the race that is set before us. So in other words, as we pointed out, there's no rules to the race. But it's kind of common sense to know, like if you're going to run a race, not to wear something that's going to be cumbersome and slow you down. So why do we keep weights in our lives? So what I did, I went back and I looked at it. I said, what things will we need to attend in a race as a Christian? And I found an old sermon. I stumbled upon it. I'd had it before, and I'd forgot I'd had it. It was from 1832. And there were things listed, and what they did, this person did, was went back and listed conditions that can affect a race. But as a Christian, some weights that would slow us down. I was so excited when I found it and I started reading them. And I realized some of them do apply to today, but some of them may not. But yet, when I thought about the ones that did not apply, I thought, why don't they apply? Because it's still anything that takes away our thoughts or our time from serving God. You know, we've talked about tithes before. So, oh, he's going to talk about money. No, you remember we talked about tithing our time. Our time is just as precious to give to God as our money is, if not more so, and the time we give and allow. So as we look here, and we're going to continue to look at these every weights, as I took off my jacket and my coat, and even my shoes I've got on, I wouldn't want to run a race with these shoes on. You can. They wouldn't stop me. But they said they'd look foolish if I get out here with dress shoes on and try to run. So as we look here, let me name a few things, and I'm going to look at, I jotted these conditions down that could be weights that we face every day. You know, I've already mentioned a couple of things, but so things attended to running a race. Oh, this is so important in Christian's life, and you got to start right. That's right. You got to be saved. It says you have to start right according to the rule. Now, that is a rule. Where I mentioned the dress was specifically not addressed, but you got to start right. That's number one. So you got to start right according to rule, and you have to run the race through. So not only do you start right, you run according to what rules are in place as far as the path you take. You know, I told you about that friend of mine that was in Saudi Arabia, and I'll make it real quick because you've heard that story before, and he was running that race because they give big prizes. He was back in the military. That was in the early 90s. And he said he was like number 7th or 8th, and he thought, boy, I won't win the Mercedes, but I might get the big screen TV or whatever he was thinking. He said he got within a mile or two, and he said all of a sudden he was number 100th or 105th or something. He thought, how did all these people? He said people came out with sandals on and robes, you know, garb like you wouldn't think they'd run on, and it wasn't illegal. So when they all crossed the finish line, and he didn't say anything about it because he was the only American or one of the only Americans, he thought, I won't complain, but he failed to get a prize. And because, you know, people waited to the very end. They jumped out of the alleys and everywhere. They didn't follow the rules. Well, in this race here, we're just talking about you follow the rules. So you start right. You run according to the rules or the track or the pace that you're put on. And you got to finish the race. Now, as we've mentioned before, and we've talked about this verse and I guess a different light, we've talked about that point ends for different people. Some people, you'll stop off, and if you've ever run a race, you stop off and there's a water station or maybe a turn. And some races, they run 5K, 8K, 10K, go marathon, etc. People have different stopping points. And sometimes that's the way our lives. Some lives are longer than others. The race is a little longer. But let me stay with me here. Let me read you these conditions that I jotted down. And that was the main thing. You start right, says conditions, and there's 10 of them. Conditions that can be weights. And again, these go back, I think it was 1832. This was a Presbyterian preacher. He'd written these things down, and I'd said, well, some of those, let's look here. Unnecessary business. And I thought, what did he mean by unnecessary business? Anything that is not, and you've got to think, it's 1832, any type of business otherwise than what you're set forth to do that takes your mind away from the things of God. Or the glory of God, of where God would have you work, whether it be in the church or outside the church. They jotted that down as unnecessary business. That could be a weight that could slow you down in working or staying on the track for God or what God would have you to do. Let me look at the next one. Anything that draws unnecessarily on our time. Now that goes back to when I mentioned earlier the idle entertainment. There's nothing, I've mentioned my own children before, walk into Walmart and see the TV with the prices dropping, they'll be mesmerized. I can come back around 35 minutes later, they're still watching it. And all it's talking about is, you know, over, you know, we've got a special deal over here, the prices are falling, you know, from $9.99 to $9.97 or whatever it is. Those little TV screens they have, you know, it just pulls them in. It does us the same way. It's hard to walk by a TV and not look and see what's on. And I'm not down in television, but what I'm saying is you got to be aware of that. Anything that draws from your time unnecessarily. That goes back to tithing our time. Let's look at, and again, he wrote these down in 1832. Let's look at the next one. Engrossness of affections. Anything that you love more than God. Any idols. And you say, well, I don't have any idols in my home. Anything that pulls you away from the church or from the work that God has assigned you to do or the commandments of study, prayer, pray for each other. So anything, all these can be weights. They could be like that jacket that I took off. In other words, you wouldn't show up at a race. And you got to think, and that's what Scripture is saying here. Paul is saying, wherefore, seeing we also compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. That means perseverance. So in your life, my life as a Christian, we're running a race. And each one of us is different. We run at different paces. We got sometimes a little different direction. There's things that we do, but we're all running for the goal. It's the same at the end. Some of us have been on that track a little longer than others. But as you look at, you wouldn't show up with these added weights. I keep going back to that because it really stuck out in my mind as I go through some more of these. I carry some of these. They slow me down. And in this year 2016 or any year, whether it's we start in January or July, you need to start shedding some of these weights, laying them aside, trying to identify them. Let me go on and read some more here. And this is what they wrote down here. Unnecessary property. And as I went through and studied that out, I said what he was referring to was things you can't tend to. They tend more of a worry. In other words, what he was saying was it said you've got so much that you can tend to, because you know a lot of farming back then. When I was reading that, said over 75% of the people raised their own food. So they had their own gardens and farms. And so what he would say is anything outside of what you and your family can care for, it'd be a burden to you. Slow you down. You'll always be worried about it. So wantonness, wanting more than what you can handle, than what you can do. That, and see, that goes back to it being a weight and not necessarily a sin. There's nothing wrong with owning more property. What he was saying when he was jotting these down, I think, was like, but that pulls more from your time. It takes time away from God. So I know how, you know, as we get ready for church on Sunday, I know we're this way in our family sometimes. You have to make a mental effort to say, okay, today is the Lord's day. We're getting ready for church. We don't want a lot of this. You know, what plans are we making? You know, like afternoon plans, if the kids want to do something. We try to limit that, and we're not always the best at that, but we try to keep it to, like, I'd like to just stay at home if I could. Of course, Kim would tell you I'd like to stay home every day. And I guess I'm just a homebody. I've grown into my dad, and I didn't realize that. And that's why he always was. And I remember my mom would always, she'd say, let's go here or there. And my dad said, well, you know, I've been working all week. I kind of like to stay around the house. And Kim working too, but I mean, it's just different how people are. But I say that is we can't during the week, but on Sundays we at least try to do that. But what about the other 6 days of the week? Is it okay then that I let everything else come into our minds and pull us away? Then before you know it, you're end of the day and you lay down, you go to sleep, you get up the next day and do the same thing. It's almost like Mr. Grizzle when he talks about when we get out in that stream and that river, and I know I mentioned this last week, and we just try to stay up. We're in that kayak or canoe or whatever we're in, and we're out there paddling, and we don't want to go downstream with the world, and we're trying to go back upstream, but it's all we can do, just stay where we're at. And that's every day. It seems like it's a struggle. It's a warfare with the flesh. It's a warfare with this world as a Christian, just trying to stay where you're at. And these weights slow us down. And as I look at that and I see that unnecessary property, let me go to the next one. And ladies, this tends to hit you more than it does the men. Articles of dress or fashion. said, and you know, he wrote this in 1832. Why be concerned about that? Why, you know, if you've got clothes to wear, places to go. His comment was, why have too many that you spend time trying to figure out what to wear? And I'm paraphrasing that because that's not exactly how, but that's what I got from it. You know, open it, and you've got so many things to select or choose from. You've been so blessed. Why do you spend that much time? And then you spend time going out to get more. That's what he said. Same way with the men and the property. And it could be the women with the property. You've got more than you can care for. It's so much, it's a burden. Let's look on. Let's move on. Attendance of company. I thought about that. That was unusual. I thought, did he mean slam the door in people's faces? They come visit? No, that's not what he meant. He meant if it was time to worship, time to go to the house of God, you either took them with you or you told them, I'm going to worship. I'll see you later. You didn't let that slow you down. You ever noticed before, sometimes you'll get phone calls, it seems like more so on Sunday morning, or people coming over to ask or to visit or be Sunday afternoon. And that is the time we generally try to visit, but it shouldn't take you away from God. Because we've been there before. We've had family come up and visit, and they'd say, well, I think we want to go home. I'm not sure we're going to stay for church on Sunday night. It's been tempting just to stay with them as late as they want to, miss church, and they head out about 7:30 or 8. So what we try to do is, you're welcome to go to church with us. If you want to leave earlier, that's fine. Now, we're not always successful at that. I'm just telling you, that's a weight. And it seems so simple. There's nothing wrong with that. But it can be a weight that slows you down in your race. You say, well, that's just one day. And that's true. It is in most cases. But these are just some things which we don't give. I don't give much thought to this jacket or this coat and this hat. But when it comes down to running the race, I do. Otherwise, I wear it. Keeps me warm. Keeps my head warm. So you need to look at overall is our race. How does these things affect us? Just a few more. And I fall into this one. When I wrote, I said, unnecessary. The first one I don't fall in, but unnecessary reading. And what he wrote is anything reading outside of what you need daily to function. And what they meant was local paper or whatever was fine, because you got to know what's happening around you. You know what Preacher Jack always say? He said, yeah, I watch a little news because I got to know what the enemy's doing. I remember he used to make that comment. So that's what he said. He said, unnecessary reading. So anything outside of the Word of God except for what you just need to know. And the next one's one where it really got me, unnecessary conversation. Just idle conversation. Just a pastime. It can be a weight. When it's the conversation is not on the things of God. And you got to think, this was over 100 years ago that he wrote all these. And you see how far we've came. And the last, or not least, untimely love affairs. And that was directed toward young men and women who spent all their time trying to look for a husband, look for a wife, when it said that really, pray about it. God will send a wife. Sorry, God will send a mate, I think, so wife, husband. And said, don't spend all your time on that, especially when you're young. And that led me over to Ecclesiastes, and that's a whole other topic. And I was thinking about that. I started reading over there about while we're young and have, you know, energy and go out and do the things for God. Because as we grow older, the teeth are begin to grind. I can't get that exactly right. I have to turn over and read it. In other words, the grinders become slow, move a little slower. So give your time to God. So as I jotted those down, I thought these are conditions that this gentleman he pointed out back again. He was a Presbyterian minister back in 1832. He said things which can easily beset you, or not beset you, that's what I'm saying, but can hinder you, as in weights. And then as I thought, well, what would be besetting sins? So I set about to try to go through the Scripture and try to find besetting sins, things which easily beset us. And before I do that, there's this little game that I play with the kids sometimes. It's on, let's see, what's it? It's on, I don't even know what it is. It's Mario Kart. They always laugh at me the way I say it. It's a little race car game. It's not on Xbox. It's something they've got. I'm trying to remember. But anyway, you drive this little car, and you race each other. And come on the screen, you know, and it's a little steering wheel. I meant to bring it. I had all kinds. I told Kim, I said, Kim, I've got 3 or 4 props I want to take to Sunday school this morning. And the only one I remember is that hat and coat. But it's a little steering wheel. You said, where's he going with this? Because it's a race that you're in. And you know, I race Maggie and Jesse and Luis. And Luis used to be the king of it. And then Jesse's gotten pretty good at it now, and he tries to distract her with conversation so she can't beat him, because otherwise she beats him. So I've noticed he's quit racing when Jesse's racing, but he'll race me and Maggie, because I'm probably, well, outside of Kim, I'm probably the worst. And Kim beats me about half the time. And Kim drives it, you know, it's a little steering wheel like this, that's how you hold it. But Kim drives it like she does a car. She puts her face right against it. And she drives and looks through it. And so the kids get tickled. But where I'm going with this is, before we start this race, the kids, they laugh at me. Maggie, you know, let me give you an example. Jesse and Maggie, they'll go in there and they choose the bullet. So they're little characters on this little bullet-like car. Well, I choose the one that looks like a stroller. And it looks like a little baby stroller. They laugh at me about it. And I'll get that little car, and every now and then I'll beat them. And they'll say, "Dad, how did you beat us with the stroller? We've got the bullet." And I said, "Well, there's a few things I look for before I choose my car." And I showed Kim this, and it's made her racing a little better too. And it applies to us in our race here, especially as Christians, things we need to know. And this is when I really got excited this week. I even had Maggie pull it back up on the screen. I said, "Pull this back up so I can read it to make sure I remember this right." Because that came to me. I was studying at work on my lunch hour. And that came to me. I said, "Okay, I want to be sure I get these things right." And when I say them, these things you choose that, as far as our race in life as Christians. Let me look. And I jotted these down. You got to pay attention to drift. That's one thing on one of those little cars you checked. See, I chose the car with the least drift. Stays on the track. See, they get in that bullet car, goes really fast, but it's got a lot of drift. Now, they're young, and their eyes and quick reflexes, and they can jerk it right back on that track, and that computer knows that, and here they go. But see, I know I want to stay where I'm at. I want to stay in the old paths. And as a Christian, too, we need to keep that in mind about the drift. Stay where we're at. So we want the least amount of drift. Another thing I looked at was speed. I don't necessarily want the fastest one, because again, what happens, I begin to lose my drift. And there's something else I begin to lose too, is my handle on things. There's another little thing you can check off when you're checking for your little car that you want to drive, and that's why it always gives me that little baby scooter thing, is I always try to choose the one with the best handling. So I want the least amount of drift. I want to stay on track, and I want it to handle really well. When I turn it right, I want it to go right. When I turn it left, I want it to go left, etc. I'm not as concerned about speed. But one thing I do like to look for, and usually get that even with good drift and handling, is acceleration. Well, I've got that turned on. Is acceleration. You want to get out there and get started. You don't want one of those other cars to hit you from behind. Because if you start out at fourth or fifth, or especially if Jesse or Maggie's behind me, they'll hit me and knock me off the track, and then that way they go on. That's how they play. So I try to get behind them and get them. But drift, speed, acceleration, handling. And that's as Christians, as we run a race, or as we think about our daily lives and our walk with God, saying things, how are we going to handle a situation? Are we going to drift from the things of God? How quickly do we get out and get started? Are we fast starters? Do we try to go too fast? Move faster than what? You know how we say we pray sometimes, and then that morning, that evening, we say, "Well, I think God's given me the answer. This is what I need to do." And sometimes that may be the case. But is that more about what you want to do or the plan God has for you? And the last one fits the lesson. Wait. You want a light vehicle. And that's what I look for. Those fast ones that they pick, they're real quick and they're drifting and handling. But they're always a little bit heavier. That way they can bump me off the road. I usually go for a lighter one. Handles easy. Stays on the track. Less weight. Because if you're going to run a weight race, that's what you want. And so us as Christians, those are probably, to me, five things we need to look at in our lives. Where are we at as we're serving God every day? Think about that. Are we pulled away and we sit down to study? Do we just read something really fast and say, "Okay, I've done my reading for today. Okay, I've got that in. That's a checkbox. Let me move on." Or do we take time? And sometimes that may only be 5 or 10 minutes that you need. You know, I'll admit this, and I'm ashamed to admit it. There was a day when I would get to work early. I'm talking 45 minutes or an hour sitting in a dark car with a flashlight and read Scripture and pray before I'd walk in. And now I don't find myself doing that nearly as often or any as I used to. And it's almost like I can go back to the day when I remembered, oh, my time's changed. I don't have to get to work as early as I used to. I can almost tell you the day when I remember walking out of the car and shutting the door and thinking, you're messing up. Oh, I'll find more time to study. And I do try to, you know, lunch break or afternoon, but nothing like those early morning hours. So I had to be at work then. That was years ago, back over to the hospital, so early, 6:30 in the morning or something, that it'd be no traffic, and I'd get there so early, and I'd just sit there, and I'd have the flashlight. And my batteries sometimes would even get weak, and I'd get mad about it, because I've let my batteries get weak. But see, that's drift. That's me. I tell you sometimes as a Sunday school teacher, I guess I tell you more about my life, or you can see more into me than I can yours, but I'm not there where I used to be, and that's on me. And you try to add back that, well, I get to sleep later, the kids are growing up, I get to see them off to school now. See, that goes back to weights. They're not necessarily bad things, but have they taken me away? Have they slowed me down? Has my race not been as quick or not been as it should be? Let me read these last to you, then I'm done. We'll get right out of it. That was Kim's phone going off this morning, because, see, I was wanting all my props, and I forgot my phone, which is but she still got me on the timer here. And so I jotted these things down, and we're finished. I'm just going to read them to you. There's 15, and I'm not going to talk about each one. I'm just going to tell you, these are besetting sins. You go through the Scripture, you can find 15 of them. And so we've already talked about some conditions that this pastor, this ministry had jotted down. Said, okay, these are conditions you need to be concerned about. So here's some besetting sins. They just go through and jot down. And said, the first one is temper. That could fit all of us. Number two was fretfulness, worry. That'd be a besetting sin. Slow you down. Something that just easily, so what does that say right there? So easily beset us. Temper. Lose your temper like that. Fretfulness, worry. I'm guilty of that. I've told you that before. Have a doctor's appointment coming up, or family, or somebody's sick, or somebody's sick in the church. You tend to worry. There's nothing wrong with concern. I think Pastor had a message. He gave maybe his first year he was here, difference between fretfulness or worry and concern. Let's continue on. I told you I'd just read these to you. I won't spend a lot of time. Covetousness. To covet. And in another one here, it said, abhorrence is what I found. It's over in the Old Testament. It said, more or less to want to hoard property. Or you spend more time looking for a bargain. Tend to be a hoarder. Number five, dishonesty. Number six, untruthful, falsehood. Number seven is trespassing. We'll go on through that again. Some of these are from the Old Testament. Number eight, slothfulness, laziness. And that means not only in church business, that means in your life. Who was it? We had a preacher here who was visiting pastor. It's been several years ago. Oh, he made the comment. He said, if you're stocking, it was Piggly Wiggly, used an example. He said, if you're stocking the shelves at Piggly Wiggly with the canned food, you need to be the best food stocker they've got if you're a Christian. You need to shine in that job as much as you do when you're at church and Sunday school, if you're preaching, if you're working with the youth, no matter what you're doing, you need to be the best at that job. And I remember that. He said, you don't need to be slothful. You need to be a hard worker. You need to be known that way. You need to be the first one to clock in and the last one to wait in line for your check. I remember the comments he made. I wish I could remember his name. Young fella came through. Been several years ago. So slothfulness, tail-bearing. Another one running around gossiping. Telling short stories, so to speak. Envy, jealousy, ambition, idle gossip, pride. And last but not least, overindulgence. It's talking about in things that we may have. That could be applied to eating, could be applied to food, drink, things we buy. It goes back to the example that I'd read as far as conditions we need to be aware of, things we can't care for, but we still want more. The example he gave, and I'm done. I remember the example he gave as far as the conditions, and it makes me think about it here with overindulgence of food, wine, drink, whatever it is. I'm trying to remember what it was in the Scripture, exactly where I got that. It made me think of an example that pastor had used back in the 1830s as far as too much property or overzealous in work. He said it'd been the same thing if a man was trying to work to get, I think they might have used the example of $1,000. But yet he already had more thousands than he ever could use. And he wasn't using it for the things God just wanted it so he could hoard it up and put it up. He said it'd been the same difference as if he bought more saddles and spurs than he ever could use. He'd spend more time keeping the rust off of them than he would have been worshiping God. In other words, it wasn't necessarily bad to have those, but it pulled him away. And that's what he's talking about there, overindulgence. Things that's not bad to have, but pulls you away. Takes your time. And whatever that may be in each one of our lives. Well, I hope that was gave you something to think about this morning and look into. It really opened up to me. I thank God for the lesson, and I didn't do a very good job of trying to deliver what He'd given to me, because I was so excited about this week. I wish I could have got all you guys together on Tuesday, and I'm still excited about it, but what I mean, in Tuesday, boy, I was just thinking, yeah, this is good, and I'd never seen that weight before. I always tied that in with the singing. And then I thought, no, that weight's different. It's like taking that jacket and coat off. And the sins, and that's why as you go through and you look at those different sins in the Bible, and there's several more, but I just try to jot them down quickly, and I ran through those. But there's so many things in our life that we tend to take, I don't want to say for granted, but maybe we do, and we get caught up in, and it's really what it's doing, it's pulling you away from God and pulling away from our fellowship with God. And so we've got time to visit with one another, welcome our visitors, if you see anybody around, and pray for the preaching this morning.